I want to talk to you today about John 10. John 10 is a fantastic chapter. I think I might need to help Jason. It was just right around. Oh, he's got it. All right. Well, it was sitting outside, Jason. I didn't plan it out very well, so it was in the snowbank and I just grabbed it. Very good. Very good. Here, let's just sit right down over there. Yep, facing. That's perfect. Absolutely perfect. So I wanted to talk to you today about John 10, and I want to give you a little bit of perspective. Have you ever wondered what it would be like to live thousands of years ago? I mean, seriously, people, how many of you love to watch Westerns? Yeah, I kind of like Westerns. It's kind of cool to think of how it would be. Kids, I know you can't imagine this, but there was no, like, TV back then. There were no cell phones back then. It was really a strange place. I mean, you had nothing to do. I mean, toys were like sticks and dirt, right? I mean, I had cousins who were so bored, they would eat the dirt. That's literally what they would do. They'd go outside and just eat dirt to play. And they would play all kinds of crazy stuff. But have you ever wondered how it would be like thousands of years ago? Well, when Jesus came thousands of years ago, he would tell these stories. They call them parables, right? And these parables weren't about something that was strange or odd to them. These are like everyday life sort of stuff that happened, right? So when Jesus told a story, everyone could relate to it. But sometimes, you know, when we read Jesus' parables now, we wonder what the heck was going on, right? So I'm going to try to help you tell the story, this parable, by telling you how things kind of were. Now, back in those days, one of the things that you would have to be a wealthy person, right, is they raised sheep and cows and chickens. So it was all, you know, most of them were farmers, right? And so when you would when you wanted money, right, when you're like, oh, man, I really need to buy something like I really need a new horse, and all you have is sheep. You had to bring your sheep, right, into town so that you could bargain and sell or trade. Does that make sense? Right? How many of you have ever petted a sheep before? That's pretty good. I never have. Have I, Linda? I don't know. Linda knows me, you know, much better than I do, so I just check over there sometimes. But do they smell? Yeah. They don't bath normally. And they poop wherever they, you know. There's no bathroom, you know, for sheep. So wherever they went to the bathroom. Kind of like my dog. And so people would bring sheep in and they want to trade them or they want to do something. And the only place that you could do that, like, if you're living out in the country by yourself, you had to bring the sheep someplace where there are other people who could buy them, right? So you bring them into town. Well, one of the things that they would do is they had a whole pen that the sheep would stay just outside of town where they all could stay, because you had to keep sheep someplace. I mean, you can't get a room. Hey, I'll take a room for me and my 100 sheep. That'd be weird. So they actually had a pen, right? And they called a pen, and it was a place, usually rock walls. And so you'd bring your flock of sheep, right, to the pen, and when you'd walk up, all around it would be like a stone wall, right? How many of you have ever been stuck behind a stone wall? Me either. I don't know why I asked. Oh, you have? Yeah. You ever climbed a stone wall? No? Oh, that kind. All right. Well, anyway, you could keep your sheep here, but the problem was that there were like a lot of people who would come to town to try to do this all at once. Well, you know, you couldn't bring your sheep into your room, and you couldn't just leave them laying out everywhere. So they built this pen, and everyone could bring their sheep into the pen, right? And so they had this thing, it was a gate. Now, I know that this doesn't say sheep gate. Is Rochelle here? What does this mean? Innkeeper. Looks more like a sheep gate. So yeah. So anyway, they would have this, and they would have a gate on it so they could control who came in and came out. And there's actually a person sometimes, if depending on how many sheep there were, he was a gatekeeper, and he would allow people in and out, right? So that's, and so when the shepherd wanted to bring his sheep out and trade them, or maybe he bought them and he wants to take them home, what he would do, he would go inside the gate, right, inside the pen, and he would get his sheep out, and he would lead them out, and they'd follow him home, or, you know, he would trade them and give them to someone else. Does that make sense? So that was the old days. So now we're going to look at John chapter 10. We're going to start actually with verse 1. Isn't that awesome? John chapter 10, verses 1, we'll start with. Verily, verily, I tell you, Pharisees. So that's who he's speaking to. We'll talk about the Pharisees later. But he was talking to the Pharisees. Anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is a shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Verse 7. Therefore, Jesus said again, very truly I tell you that I am the gate for the sheep, and all who have come before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. And the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they might have life and might have it to the full. Verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hands is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this pen. I must bring them in also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is I lay down my life, not only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay down of my own accord, and I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. Verse 19. The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, he is a demon-possessed and raving madman. Why listen to him? But others said, these are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? And they came to the festival of dedication at Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus was at the temple courts, walking in Solomon's colonnade. I'm going to stop there. Let's pray again. Lord Jesus, there are many shepherds that have been placed in our life. There's many false shepherds. There's many voices and thoughts that lead us the wrong direction that tells us lies. Lord, but one thing I know, that the voice of Jesus, our shepherd, we know it. Because you know us, and we know you. Lord Jesus, I repent for not listening to your voice and getting distracted. Lord, I ask you to speak through me today. Reveal Jesus to these people. Reveal yourself to them. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first thing that you notice that Jesus is telling this story about sheep and sheeple, right? What I think, what I gathered out of John chapter 10, and there's more to it, but what I gathered is Jesus said some pretty interesting things. He said, number one, that he's the gate, right there. He said he's the gatekeeper, and he said he's the good shepherd, right? And so this is what he calls himself. But when we look at the story, Jesus is telling the story to who? The Pharisees. Now, Pharisees are very interesting people. They were the shepherds. They were the religious shepherds of that day. They were supposed to lead the people to God, to have a relationship with them. And Jesus came to give his life and to teach them and bring salvation, not only to the people, but to the shepherds. He wanted to show them a new way. Have you ever tried to change someone's mind? Have you ever tried to convince somebody, but then they wouldn't listen to you? Every adult parent in this place, right, is like, yeah, right? Every parent is like, oh my gosh, I tell my kids all the time they don't listen. And then they go and they do it, you know. Don't touch the fire. Oh, you touch third degree burn. I see the way that this works, right? Right? And Jesus was, he came for these shepherds. He's trying to tell these Pharisees, look, there's a new way. I have brought a new way. I am the way. I'm the gate. You don't no longer have to deal with the law. You no longer have to wonder about, is God pleased with us or not? Because I am here, and I'm here to bring revelation and to change your entire religious situation. But the more he told them about it, they started saying, this guy's a quack. This guy's kind of crazy, right? He's supposed to be this great religious leader. He heals people, like he brings sight to the blind. He heals them, right? But yet he says these odd things. Like they're used to the law. They're used to talking a certain way, but he didn't talk that way, right? He talked to the common people. He told them stories about common everyday things. And so he's like, all right, Pharisees, like this is what I'm bringing. Like I am the gate. I am the gatekeeper and I'm the shepherd. And they're like, all right, you lost me. They didn't understand for a moment what he was talking about. Right? But we do understand it. And you know what? The message is vital and important for us today. First of all, Jesus said that he was the gate. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Acts 4:12 says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which he must be saved. Jesus is a gate. If you want to get to God, who's on the other side, who is in this pen, right, to walk with him, there is only one way to do it, and that's to go through that gate. This door should open the other way, but that's okay. Opens the wrong way. Right? There's only one way, and it's through Jesus Christ. See, this world tells you a different story. And I've been in many conversations with people that say, you know what, you can find your own way to God. All you have to do is be a good person. Like, they're like, oh, I trust God completely. If I just do my best, God knows my heart, and I'm going to make it to heaven. But Jesus didn't condone that. He didn't preach that. He said, look, I'm the only way. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And it doesn't matter if you're good or not, because good people sin. They mess up. They fall short. And God's requirements aren't good enough. God is perfect, and his requirements are perfect. He requires perfection from you and me. How many of you know that perfection is not in the cards for you? Right? Perfection is not going to make it. I'm going to fall short. I'm going to mess up. Right? I have a wicked heart sometimes. I eat too many cookies. Like, there's all kinds of things I do. And so Jesus, the gate, found a way through his Father, who his Father told him. He said, you know what? Whenever there's a sin, justice needs to be served. There must be justice. There must be perfection. And Jesus is like, the only way that perfection can come to an imperfect man is if I give my life and I give my blood because it's perfect and I shed my blood for somebody else. That's the only way. You know, so many Christians are afraid to just kind of lay that on the line. You know, I think a lot of Christians nowadays, at least public media, you know, in the stuff that people say and the things that you see, Christians kind of lay back in the weeds a little bit. You know, because they don't want to offend anyone. They don't want to hurt anyone. And they just kind of lay back in the weeds. And someone will say something that's contrary to, hey, there's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. And they'll just kind of lay back, right? And you know what I think? I think a lot of times this world is looking for your voice. This world is looking for that confident voice that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the gate. There's no other way to the Father except through me. And you know what? I just encourage you. I've laid back in the weeds, and I do sometimes. But do not be afraid when the moment commands it, when the Holy Spirit moves in your heart, to tell them about Jesus. This world needs that message. So Jesus is the gate. There's no other way to heaven. There's no other way to God. You can be a good person and still die in your sins and go to hell. Wow, I'm so controversial, but I'm so true. Because that's what the Word of God says. There's one way, and Jesus Christ is that way. He also said a very interesting thing. He said, I am the gatekeeper. See, the gatekeeper is very interesting because that's the person who lays in front of the gate. Now, if there weren't enough people around, people would just go in and out of the gate. But there's a story that I've heard, I've read about many times, that the gatekeeper was the person, he would actually lay across the bottom of the gate so that nothing could get in except through him. Right? The only way that you would get in is if you're bringing sheep or you're picking sheep up and the gatekeeper knows you. Right? He was a person who was essentially the security guy in the whole deal. Right? He's the one that made sure people stayed and people left and people didn't steal sheep and that wolves didn't get in and attack. He was the gatekeeper. And Jesus said, I am the gatekeeper. Listen to me. Is Jesus the gatekeeper of your life? Do you check with him when someone comes in and starts saying things in your life that maybe you know is not true? Does Jesus the gatekeeper tell you the dream that you can accomplish? Or is there another gatekeeper who's standing there and saying, no, you can't? Is there another voice in your head? Is there another shepherd that came in and has started telling you what to do? Who is your gatekeeper? You must check with the gatekeeper before you let anyone or anything into your life. Today we prayed that God would give us a dream, right? And we said in Jesus' name, and we said that Jesus Christ would bring this dream into our lives through the gatekeeper. When you don't know what to do, check with the gatekeeper. Right? The third thing that he said that I am the good shepherd. The shepherd cares for his sheep. Now, if you know anything about sheep, it's kind of a lot like today. Believe it or not, there's a lot of sick animals that they would bring in with them. Sometimes the sheep were frantic. They're going to a new place, right? Sometimes the sheep were impulsive, right? Like, oh, I got to go here. Oh, new place. Find me some grass, right? You know, sometimes they're just in an ornery mood. Give me coffee, right? So, right? Sometimes the sheep were sick. Sometimes the sheep would come in and be pregnant, right? There are all kinds of sheep. Right? There's little ones. There's big ones. There's black ones. But Jesus said that he's the good shepherd, and he knows how to handle you. Because I'm going to tell you, some of you are sick. Some of you are lost. Some of you are frantic in the life that you live right now. Anxiety is all over you. And you know, sometimes I think you don't check with the gatekeeper, at least I don't sometimes, and I let the wrong shepherd lead me. You know, sometimes you can look at somebody and tell what shepherd's leading them, right? Sometimes you can just by a glance or by the way someone carries themselves, you can tell that they're really thinking about something. You ever see someone like that? They're kind of walking along and they got their hands in their head and they got their head down and they're going, oh my gosh, what am I going to do in this situation, right? There are other people, you know, that they're walked all slumped over and they're walking slow. And you know, that shepherd sometimes is not a good shepherd. It's a shepherd of fear that's on them, right? Sometimes it's confusion. They don't know where they're going. Sometimes it's impulse. Like some people are just, oh, what's happening next? And they're listening to the shepherd that the way to live your life is in a constant excitement, right? Some people live their lives in ways that are not healthy for themselves, are not submitted and committed to the good shepherd, right? Because they're listening to the wrong voice. Because there's somebody else who they let inside of their pen, inside of their heart, that is bringing them a message that is not from the good shepherd. I want to challenge you today. One of the things I got very strongly is, who and what are the shepherds in your life that are giving you the wrong message? Because there's probably someone that has given you a wrong message in your life. And you know what? You could be the bad shepherd in someone's life. That's straight from the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're that person speaking the wrong things to your family, to your kids, to your coworkers, to your boss. Maybe that voice is coming out as you being a bad shepherd. Listen to the voice of Jesus Christ. We're going to have an opportunity to pray later, and you can get rid of that. You can repent of that. God can change your heart and give you the right words and the wisdom so that you could be a fountain of life and not a shepherd that leads someone the wrong way. That's what I want. The good shepherd knows how to care for his sheep. You know, that's why it's so important to be a part of a community, is because when I come here, I hear things I won't hear anywhere else. I'll come here and someone will encourage me or tell me something that is just profound, that changes my thinking, that changes my heart, right? In the set of a community, because people are very important when it comes to God's word. Who preaches God's word? People. Right? How many of you have received a word from the Lord, from someone who's just listening to God and could hear a different perspective than you? How many of you have delivered that word? Did you know you're delivering the word of the shepherd? See, one of the things about sheep, one of the things about the voices of other things, if you let them, they'll rattle you. If you're listening to fear, you could be jumping all over the place. You know, you ever have that conversation with yourself, right? What am I going to do about that? How am I going to pay for that? And then there's this that's coming up, and I have no idea how I'm going to pay for this. And then I have to do that, and I just don't have time to do that. Right? You have those things in your life where you're just battling them on the inside. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, the voice of Jesus Christ is there to calm you. The voice of Jesus Christ is not there to give you a rattling. He's not there to make you desperate. He's not there to make you frantic. Some of the verses that I thought were very, very powerful about fear and anxiety is Job 10:12. You have granted me life and loving kindness, and your care has preserved my spirit. Let the Lord preserve your spirit. Psalms 32:7 says, you are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance. Psalms 121:7, the Lord will protect you from evil and keep your soul. Psalms 121:3, he will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. God is there to care for you. He is not going to leave you alone. He's not going to leave you in a place of desperation or a place where your world will fall apart. He's not going to just leave you in the byway because you made a mistake. He's not going to leave you to the consequences of something that is greater or more powerful for you to bear. God cares for you. You know, I run into people sometimes that they think, well, I can't pursue that. I'm not going to be in the ministry anymore. You know, I just made too many mistakes, and I chose the wrong person to marry. And they make these obstacles out to be impossible things in their lives, that they just discount the calling of God. Do you know the Word of God says that His calling and His gifts are irrevocable? You know, when you think, well, I messed up too bad, you know what you're really doing is you're putting yourself in such a position of greatness that you can cancel the power of God. That one shook me when I learned it. My negative attitude and my belief in my inadequacy and my ability to mess things up, I believe my ability to mess things up more than I had faith in the power of God. Dispense of that lie. God is greater than your circumstances. Yeah, but I brought it on myself. Isn't all sin that way? Isn't all sin something that we've kind of brought on ourselves? Right? God's grace is big enough to overcome your situation and overcome those obstacles that you think are impossible. The only reason why you're not overcoming those obstacles is because you're not willing to try. Because you're not willing to make a step of faith in that direction because you think, you're listening to the wrong shepherd, right? That shepherd says, no, those circumstances are too bad. That what you did was despicable. No, you can't even try that. People know. People know what you did. People know who you were. They're not going to let you do that. That shepherd is a liar. See, the only way the shepherd, that you should get in the pen is through the door, through Jesus Christ. But you know, there's other shepherds that the other way that they go is they hop the fence. And they get in some other way and they start trying to take the sheep and lead them the wrong direction. Jesus called them out. Right? He said there's thieves and liars. You know what happens when you don't listen to the right voice in life? Satan starts to steal things from you. He starts taking things from you. He's taking your future. He's taking your destiny. He's taking your inheritance. And he's stealing things in your life right now that God is trying to bless. God's trying to grow things in your life. God is trying to bring love and life and liberty through your words and through your walk. He's trying to bear much fruit in your life. But because you're listening to the wrong shepherd, you can't even hear the voice of Jesus Christ because you get so caught up in your own circumstances that you forget that Jesus is there and he has a way and he has a plan. But the shepherds in your life keep beating you down and telling you it's impossible and that you can't get out and it's your own fault and there's no way that that'll ever happen. But that is not the voice of God. That is not the voice of Jesus Christ for you. I brought you the word today. God has dreams for you. He has plans for you. Those things that seemed impossible, God can accomplish if you'll follow him and if you'll hear his voice. A couple things I wanted to go over. We're almost done. The first thing that we must do is we must recognize his voice. See, there's many voices that are calling out to you every day. And you know what? There's voices that walked in here with you that you're listening to. And I just can't believe that you want to listen to those voices any longer. I think it's time to shut those voices up and listen to Jesus. Wait for his voice. Listen for your name. Let me tell you something. Jesus, in this parable, he said, the shepherd know the sheep by name, and he calls them by name. He knows every single one. Jesus has a plan and a calling for your life that's just as personal as your name. He named you. He knit you together in your parents' womb. He knows everything about you. He knows your past. He knows your present. And he knows your future. And he calls your name today. Not everybody, but he's calling you. I love God so much because he's a personal God. You ever felt abandoned? You ever felt left out? Felt like that you're not important? Felt like that nobody cares your situation in life? That's not my Jesus. He loves you and calls you by name. He won't allow you to be alone. He won't allow you to be insignificant. Because you are significant. God's plan, the creator of the universe, involves you. That makes you important. How much is my value? How much am I worth? Jesus answered that question. He said, you know how much that each person is worth? It's worth my life. The same value that God has is the value that you have. Let me explain it to you in kind of the way that I think about it, right? How much are you worth? Well, we have to go back to God. How much is God worth? Can't put a number on it. It's infinite, right? God, in many ways, his power is infinite. His value is infinite. How much would you pay right, to buy God. Huh, right? Impossible situation. So you have the infinite value of God, right? And he gave himself for you. What's your value? Without God, pretty pathetic, right? You know, someone said everyone has their own price, right? Everyone has a price that you could buy them out because we're wicked. How much is your price? You know, if today that you found out that God has a plan for your life and a dream for your life, but you know that you live your life and you have a retirement and you have all the money in the bank, is it worth risking that $100,000 for a dream that God has for you? Is it worth risking that $1 million? Maybe it's $2 million. Maybe it's $5 million. Is God's dream worth risking it? If God is telling you to do something that's incredible, that's outside of your dreams, he might require it all. Ooh, not a whole lot of amens there. Well, I'll work on it, right? God might require everything that you have. He does require everything that you have. Nothing that you have is yours. You think that bank account's yours? It's not. The only reason that you have it is because God gave it to you. And if he wants to take it away, he will. And I've seen it in my lifetime. Boom, gone. Wealth, what is that? Just like grass. It goes by God's command. Just like the wind, it goes by God's command. Right? Just like wealth, it goes by God's command. You have it because God intends you to have it. And you know what? What I found out is if God has a plan and you want to be stubborn and not follow it, and you say, no, I'm good, I'm comfortable, that Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, knows you well enough, he might just take it all away anyway so that he can get you on the right track. God is good, but God is tough. God disciplines those he loves. And he disciplines in ways that make me very uncomfortable. Right? He takes things from me that I like. He makes circumstances, in my head, they're all going a certain way and they're all lined up, and bang, I get into them and they fall apart. God, I told you. Right? But that's the truth. God will direct your path. He is your shepherd. You know what? I found that sometimes the most difficult thing to do is to wait. Right, Rochelle? Sometimes God has given you a dream and maybe you pursued it and you know that this is the direction that you want to go and you're just waiting for that opportunity to happen and God has prepared you for this position and you know it's going to happen someday and you're like, all right, come on, shepherd, we're going through the gate. Today's my day, right? I got it all lined up. And all of a sudden, you're sitting there, and God doesn't call your name, and he doesn't leave the gate, and there you're sitting in that pen for what seems to be forever. I'm preaching to somebody today besides myself. Right? Man alive, I hate waiting. Sometimes it's the most difficult thing to do, but don't you move till you hear Jesus calling you. Don't you move. Don't even think about it. Don't let that other shepherd come in that says, oh, you deserve it. Why don't you go now? There's an opportunity. Go now. Check it with the voice of Jesus. Does Jesus say go now? We have to follow him. Sometimes the most difficult thing to do is to take a step of faith when you're comfortable and complacent. I'm just telling you. I'm being real. Sometimes it's hard to give when I really don't have it to give. When I figured out my bills and I'm like, this is, I got everything covered. And God's like, why don't you give that too? That's not God. Right? That can't be. Right? Sometimes the most difficult thing to do is take a step of faith when you're comfortable or complacent. You ever been comfortable? Probably means you're complacent. I mean, they aren't paying me much. That's why I tell you this stuff. Right? I'll just tell you the way it is. You know, because comfortability leads to the flesh. That means your flesh is comfortable. And your flesh is wicked. And it tends to go the wrong direction if it's not kept in check by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. So when you're comfortable, a lot of times you become complacent. I'm just telling you, telling you the way that it is. We must pray against complacency. Because there is a shepherd who comes when you're comfortable and tells you, just stay here. Let me give you a back massage. Right? Everything's going to be okay. You don't need to do that. Just be comfortable. Got your house paid off. You're not in debt. You don't need to go taking chances. Just stay right where you're at. Sometimes the most difficult thing to do is to recognize his voice. You got to wait for it. He hasn't forgotten you. Tell the person next to you, God hasn't forgotten you. He will call your name. I'm done. I love you guys. I hope you still love me, even though I was tough on you. Stand up one more time. Oh, the stiffness. How come you get stiffer when the temperature goes down, the more stiff my body is? Why is that? How much further can the temperature go down? This is kind of getting ridiculous. I rebuke that shepherd in Jesus' name. Get behind me. No. Okay, let's pray. Father God, Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I even thank you that sometimes it's tough. I don't like it, but I know it's what is best for me. Lord Jesus, I pray that you'd pour your spirit out in dreams. That you would bring back the dreams in someone's heart today. Lord, that you would plant new dreams in our hearts today. That we would pursue you by faith, not by comfort, because that shepherd's a liar. We'll pursue you in the waiting. Father God, Lord, I pray that you would encourage the hearts of those today who need encouragement. Lord, I pray that you would light a fire to the heart today that needed a dream. Father God, I pray for the McDonald's. Lord, I can't imagine what they're going through. Comfort them. Bring them back safely to us. Lord, I know there's a lot of people here, and I'll hang around if you need special prayer today, and Linda will come up with me, and we'll pray for whoever needs prayer. But I know that there are people that are sick, that are in poor health, that the future just doesn't look good. And sometimes the Good Shepherd leads us to those places, and we must trust him. Lord, bring us together again. Lord, I thank you so much for what you're doing in my life and in our midst. I thank you so much for the people who call this place your home. Father, I just ask you to bless them. Bless them as they go. Let the Spirit of the Lord be upon them to preach the good news to those who are lost and dying, to bring healing in your name to those who are in pain. Lord, raise up your people. Bless them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Know that you guys are loved. But you're not alone. Have a great day. If you need prayer, Linda and I will be hanging out up here.